morning. What a privilege it is to be here this morning, to gather together again as people interested in high and holy things, interested in our one true God. We're grateful so far this morning for what we've been able to do, sing and pray, to partake in the Lord's Supper. And now we get to the point where we can spend a few more moments thinking about some of the messages in God's Word. We're going to welcome again all of our members, but also our visitors here this morning. We pray that you might learn something here this morning, that you can walk out of here edified and be more prepared to face the challenges that we find in this world. Throughout the Bible, we see persecution of those who are doing God's work. And the New Testament makes it clear that there are trying times ahead of those who seek to live a godly life. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And that's a sobering thought. It's a sobering indeed, because persecution by its very nature isn't something that is to be desired. And it can be challenging to choose to live a faith that will bring such adversity. But what we'll do is we'll look at a few examples here this morning of some familiar passages, some familiar stories that we see of people, and look at some lessons that we can take to our lives to deal more thoroughly with this, but also to know that it is a privilege indeed that we might be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And that's what our focus will be on this morning. When we talk about Abel, you might not think much about Abel and persecution. But let's read in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Now Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you so angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and killed him. Familiar story. We don't think a lot of it in terms of persecution. What we see here is that Abel was doing the Lord's work, and circumstances around him led to his ultimate death. I think the first thing that we can take away from this story is that you can be persecuted by those close to you. We also often think about our families and people that we know. Who is it that knows us the best? It's those closest around us. And sometimes it's those very people that can see us at our worst. However, it's also sometimes those very people that see us at our best. And if we're striving to live a godly life, unfortunately, sometimes that can bring other emotions at play. That maybe your brother or someone close to you sees the success that you're having, and we can struggle with that. There can be different emotions. But also the challenge to us this morning is that no matter what we might face of those close to us, that we will continue to live a godly life and set an example and not fear even those who are close to us that might bring us harm. But also, too, that those trying to serve God can persecute you. Sometimes we think about it's just people out there who have the distaste for God's will. But it can also be those who are trying to serve. We saw that Cain was out there. He was trying to make an offering. His heart, we may not have been completely in the right place. He may not have fully devoted himself to it. But he was seeking to please God. We also see that example in the New Testament of Saul, that he also is trying to serve God. And so what that means is that while those may challenge us, those might oppose us, that doesn't mean they're 100% out of the question and that they don't have any interest in God. So while we may face persecution, let's find opportunity as well that we can still teach them and be of encouragement to them. Also, we see Abel was killed because his deeds were righteous and his brother's evil. We see in 1 John 3:12, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. we know that we can see that sometimes there is a jealousy, that there are other factors at play, and why we might face persecution. And that leads us to this idea that sometimes the persecution really isn't about you. In Genesis 4, 6 through 7, as we saw, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It's desirous for you, but you must rule over it." Sometimes there are things that you end up on the bad end of, but it has nothing to do with you. It could be you doing your best, you to serve. And we saw that Abel was doing that. But other things were at play. So sometimes don't always use the bad things that you're facing in your life, that the bully at school or at work or somebody who is challenging you, don't assume that you're doing something wrong, that you're necessarily doing something right. But there may be a need in someone else's life that you can find an opportunity to provide for. And also, something we can really take to heart today is that we can speak even after our death. And we see that here in Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he'll still speak." Here we are in 2018, talking about a man who lived righteously, who was doing good things. And what an encouragement to us. Now we can think that years later, we could still be an example and influence to those that are still living. The second person we'd like to take a look at here this morning is Joseph. We'll read a couple of somewhat lengthy passages. Feel free to turn to Genesis chapter 37. We will have the verses on the screen, but we're not reading the entirety of the context. So use this as an opportunity to study along with me as we go. Starting in Genesis 37, verse 9. Speaking of Joseph, "Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me.' But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?' And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." We can continue down in verse 25. "After some time, then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on the way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Instead of just killing him, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. After all, there are certain standards they must hold to.' And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver." They took Joseph to Egypt, where he was for a number of years before they would encounter him again. Again, we make a very similar point, identical indeed. You can be persecuted by those close to you. That sometimes it's those who are lost their way or those who are not willing to face the truth of the matter, but they will do things to harm you. But know that we can continue to do what's right and ultimately lead to a good result. We also see that the causes for our treatment might be out of our control. Let's read together in Genesis 45, 4 through 8. This is after much time has passed when his family comes to see him in Egypt. "So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near and he said, 'I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you that sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and ruler over all the land." We might not fully understand the forces that are at work. It may be jealousy on some other's part, but also maybe God working to bring about some positivity and good things in life for ourselves and possibly for other people. along those lines, it may take a lot of time before we understand the reason. Over time, Joseph may have put together a picture of what was going on in his life. And we may face certain things in our life where we don't understand why things were happening. But we might reflect years later on the fact that we were able to positively influence someone's life, or that what we felt as persecution, again, was an opportunity for them to learn, an opportunity where they needed help. And it was part of their journey to come to Christ. So let's understand that we might not completely understand what's going on at the time, but be faithful and continue to desire to live a godly life, and we can continue to be a blessing to others. Also, we should understand that lasting good may come from what we endure. Joseph teaches us that quite well, doesn't he? Is that the promise to Abraham that all the nations would be blessed, that there was a preservation of his family at work and all that was going on. And so we might not understand all the forces that are going on. It might take a little time for us to understand it, but the benefits of that may be fruitful for years to come. Our third example that we'll look at is with Stephen. Again, join me in Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some rose up and disputed with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place. And the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Stephen continues to deliver an amazing, comprehensive, very well-delivered speech that speaks through the history of mankind. Resuming in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out aloud with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." I think it's also important for us to note that no one is off limits because of the work they're doing. Somebody like Stephen, who was obviously very much blessed, as we see in Acts chapter 5, how was he described? Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 6, full of grace and power and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen was desiring to live a godly life, and he was doing good things. And whether you're bad or good, you're doing wonderful things. No one is an exception to this. In fact, we are told that those who desire to live a godly life can expect that persecution in their lives. We can also point out that persecution may actually come based on lies. That some of the people had stirred up the people, the scribes and the Pharisees, listing out false accusations and causing strife among the people. And that persecution may come to you because of things that aren't actually true. We also consider the fact that we might have an escape route. We saw in Acts chapter 7, verse 1, after all these accusations were made, what did the high priest said? He asked the question, "Are these things so?" It was in that moment there were several choices that could have been made. Yeah, I can meekly admit that they were so. I could simply say, yes, it was all a big misunderstanding, and walk away and preserve my life in the process. But that's not what Stephen did. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, took that an opportunity and used it to deliver one of the most incredible speeches, sermons that we have in the book of Acts. Never let us shame ourselves away from doing what is right and using an opportunity to make a difference when people are listening. And we see, well, it reminds us of Matthew 26 with Peter. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. We have a choice when we're faced with a difficult situation. Are we going to stand up and do what's right? Are we going to live that desire to live a godly life, be displayed in what we're doing? Or will we use it as a route of escape? Those are important choices that we have to make. And let's accept them, but never give up. And also, it's important to note that those persecuting you still have value. As we saw here, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul went on to do tremendous things, as we noted in our Bible class this morning. That he had mighty works and things that he could do, still continuing on. And so let's not give up even on the people that we might see that are doing aggressive and evil things against us. Just like Saul ultimately came on to do wonderful things. Then let's just take a few more moments after looking at these different individuals, thinking about ourselves. A few final points before we close this sermon. Despite the risks, we are expected to be beacons for Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, we read, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Is it no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." What a challenge we have. This reminds us this morning that we be lights in this world, that we shine bright no matter the consequences that we might face. And that the darker that this world gets, the brighter we will shine. And that might come with risks, but it also comes with rewards. We should also know that when you are persecuted, you are not alone. In Matthew 5, 11 through 12, "Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." One, we're not alone because we are in a great cloud of witnesses of people who have faced similar circumstances, but also because we are there with Christ. Who's there with us when we're facing those challenges. And if we continue to desire to live a godly life, we might face that persecution. But again, there is a great reward that we can look forward to. Also, we should know that it is a privilege to bear the name of Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You see persecution, you face it, that's telling you one thing. You're resembling Christ. Do not be ashamed of that. The world hated him first, and if it hates you because you are doing what's right by him, do not be fearful of that. Also, in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, when the apostles had been teaching, "And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." They reflected on it and said, this is a challenge. That they didn't assume that they were worthy. They acted, and they were persecuted, and they were told to stop, but they continued to doing it. What did they say? Did they walk away sulking? No, they rejoiced. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name. Whose name is that? Jesus, the Christ. That's the name that they were worthy to suffer for. And And finally, I think it's important for us to remember two more points. That as a servant of God, death may come at any time. We're often encouraged to remember this. We think about our lives and all the risks we take. But reflect on the fact that Abel, what was he doing? He was out in the field. Going about his business. What was Stephen doing? He was preaching a sermon. He was doing God's work. You might be doing the most mundane of things. You might be doing the most glorious of things. But you need to prepare to die at any time. And finally, and most importantly, as a disciple of Christ, there is no fear in death. Matthew chapter 10, 28, familiar passage, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear men around us. Fear God. Because he can deliver you. But he can also destroy you. What choice will you make in how to serve him? In Acts chapter 7, in verse 60, and falling to his knees, this is again back to Stephen, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, I love it, he fell asleep. He didn't die. He didn't disappear. He wasn't crushed into non-existence. He fell asleep. There's no fear in death. Because we can be baptized into Christ, into his death. And just as he was raised into newness of life, so can we. He fell asleep. Don't be afraid to desire to live a godly life. It may come with persecution, but where there is no risk, there is no reward. Let's all encourage each other this day and every day that we will stand strong, that we will resemble Christ, and then that might come with terrible things, but that the future holds bright and glorious things for us. If you have any need this morning, you need to be baptized into the name of Christ that you can be counted worthy to bear it. If you reflect on your life and know that right now you aren't desiring to live a godly life, if you're coasting through without any challenge in your life, that might cause you to question, to what extent are you desiring and letting your faith be known? Do not fear death this morning. But be excited and rejoice knowing that there is a future bright in heaven for you. If you have that need this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
I breathe.